This Health Ranger Report Pandemic Podcast is brought to you by naturalnews.com for uncensored reporting and healthrangerstore.com for lab-tested preparedness supplies such as storable food, full-face medical masks, biostructured silver first aid gel, and iodine, only while supplies last. April 15th, pandemic.news update. Mike Adams here, the Health Ranger. We are seeing a lot of people protesting the lockdowns. There have been protest groups in Michigan and other places across the country, people getting restless, as we predicted would happen. And they're saying, well, it's unconstitutional to be locked down. Maybe they're right. Maybe it is unconstitutional. And they're demanding the right to protest with no masks, saying that they should be able to take whatever risk they want. If they want to take the risk, and if they get infected and die, it's their own problem, but they're willing to accept the risk and they're willing to go out and protest in public. And initially, from a pro-liberty point of view, that sounds like it makes sense, right? It's pretty convincing, right? It's a libertarian point of view. Hey, if I want to take the risk, then why can't I go out and be part of a protest group and maybe get infected? But that's my risk, right? That's the argument. In fact, maybe you are thinking the same thing. However, there's something that almost nobody has considered in this equation. And it's, of course, my job to point out the unnoticed things in society that might change your mind. And this is the fact that when you get sick, you expect to be taken care of by doctors and nurses and hospitals. And so you have a demand that you're placing, I don't mean you in particular, but whoever's going out to these protests, they are, in essence, implying a demanded level of healthcare if they get sick. And that demanded level of healthcare, which includes, hey, if I call 911, you know, I demand an ambulance pick me up, I demand a doctor see me, I demand to be put in the hospital, to be treated, to be taken care of, to have a ventilator, to have a bed, all these things, those are implied demands. And all of those things place the lives of doctors and nurses at risk, and ambulance drivers and first responders and paramedics and so on. So when you go out and join a protest against the lockdowns and you aren't wearing a mask and you're saying, I don't believe there's a virus, you're not just placing your own life at risk. You are, in fact, creating what are known as externalized risks. You're creating risks for first-line responders. You're creating risks for doctors and nurses. And how many doctors and nurses and other medical professionals have been killed so far by this coronavirus? It is a considerable number. I don't have the exact number. Probably no one knows it yet, but it's in the thousands. There's no question. It's in the thousands all around the world. And if you listen to the nurses and medical staff who are in New York City right now and seeing with their own eyes what they are looking at. And by the way, they've been censored from being able to tell the truth online because it's so horrifying. It might result in lawsuits against the hospitals. But what they're saying privately, it's astonishing. It's like a war zone. It's very, very bad. And doctors are getting infected and dying in some cases. So when people want to say, oh, it's only my risk, it's only me taking my risk, they're actually very selfish in their understanding of the external risks that they are creating for others. It's a very selfish thing to say, oh, I have civil rights without acknowledging your civil responsibilities. You have a responsibility to not create an extra burden on the hospitals. You have a responsibility to not demand ambulance drivers and doctors and nurses take care of you because you were careless, because you had a choice. You could have stayed home or you could have joined the protest. You decided to join the protest without wearing a mask. You got infected. You have now put other people's lives at risk, and yet you demand that they take care of you. Maybe a more fair system would be, okay, hey, you want to go out and protest without wearing a mask and you want to take that risk, okay, but then you don't get to call 911 and have an ambulance come pick you up. You don't get a hospital bed. You don't get a ventilator. And that would seem cruel to a lot of people. You say, my God, don't the doctors have a moral responsibility to take care of people? Well, yes, in normal times, but what about people who ignored the advice to not share airspace and spit space with other people in the middle of a pandemic that's a biological weapon with a high R0 value, high transmissivity, that's infecting millions of people around the world. Millions. And it's killed, what, 130,000 plus around the world and over 30,000 people in the United States. And yet, some people choose to go out and subject themselves to that and then claim that it's their own business. No, it's actually more than just you. You have to think beyond yourself. And this is what I find interesting about the pro-liberty movement. A lot of people in the pro-liberty movement, they only think about themselves, their liberty. What are my rights? I have the right to join a protest. I have the right to be out in public and not wear a mask. I have the right to do this and that. Fine, great. What about your responsibilities? What about your responsibility to the elderly in society, or your responsibility to not create a burden on an overstressed healthcare system? What are your responsibilities? You see, we cannot have rights unless we recognize responsibilities. And if you act like children who don't understand these concepts, then guess what? Government's going to treat you like children, and they're going to lock you down under martial law. Because if you can't act like an adult and act with a sense of responsibility, you're going to be treated like children. And that's why the martial law is coming down, because people would not stay home and do the right thing on their own. They had to be forced to do it because they refused to consider the impact on others. Now, here's a similar kind of description. What if somebody owns a building? Let's say it's a building with a nightclub in it. They want to have the rave nightclub. And they decide that, hey, I don't want to build the fire escapes. I don't want to have fire extinguishers. I don't want to have fire detection or smoke detectors, whatever. No fire suppression. I mean, you might ask, why do we have fire codes in buildings all over our country? Because, you know, a business owner would say, well, I'm going to take the risk. If there's a fire, that's my own fault. That's my risk. But guess what? It's not just their risk, is it? It's the risk of everybody who's in their building. Those are the people who are going to die. And it's the risk of the firefighters and the paramedics who have to respond. Firefighters die fighting fires. And if you build a building and you ignore smoke detectors and fire extinguishers and fire escape doors and all these things that are required, then you're not just placing yourself at risk, you're placing others at risk. And are there people out there who would argue that it's their constitutional right to ignore fire codes? Probably, yeah. I'm sure there's people like that. It's not in the Constitution that I should have fire escapes. It's not in the Constitution that I should have well-lit fire exit signs that work when there's no power. And yet, there are fire codes that require that so that people can see their way out of a building even if there's smoke all over the room. Why is that? Because fires kill people in the buildings and fires kill the responders. So when you act irresponsibly as a building owner and ignore the fire codes, you are externalizing risks onto others. Others who are professionals who, by the way, already put their lives at risk. Even in good situations, they sure don't want to go into your building where you have no well-lit exit signs. So you see, there are all kinds of situations like this where your, quote, liberty actually places others at risk. Like if you're driving a vehicle that has no brakes that work, you might say to yourself, well, it's my right. I'm a pro-liberty person. I get to drive a vehicle that has faulty brakes. That's my risk. If I crash and I die, that's my fault, right? You could make that argument. A lot of these pro-liberty people would probably say that. They would say, it's not in the Constitution that brakes should work. And if I want to drive a vehicle that doesn't have brakes that work, that's my own deal, they would say. Except for the fact that when your brakes don't work, you might slam into another vehicle, I don't know, a van with a family in it, and kill a child or a mother or a father or a senior citizen. Because your brakes didn't work, you now place others at risk. Because we don't live in isolation, folks. We live in a community, and we must think beyond our own rights. We must consider our shared responsibilities. And this isn't collectivism. I'm not a socialist. I'm not a communist. I believe in the concepts of liberty and the concepts of the Constitution and the right to speak, especially the right to practice your religion. Yet I do so from a point of view as a mature adult who also understands that along with our rights come responsibilities. And if we ignore the responsibilities, then we forfeit the rights. You can't have a society of people who demand their rights but ignore their responsibilities. That's not a society. That's a collapsing death trap system where there are no fire codes that anybody acknowledges and nobody has vehicles that are safe for the roadways. You know, we have to consider others as well as our own actions. And I understand that this point of view may not be popular in the independent media or the pro-liberty media. Fine. I'm a person of principle. I have core values. And one of those values is I respect the lives of others. I'm not just someone who selfishly thinks about only myself. I have empathy for fellow human beings. I have compassion for fellow human beings. I understand the dynamics of what happens when doctors have to come to your rescue or firefighters have to come to your rescue. We have a responsibility, all of us in society, to reduce the risks that are placed upon those first-line responders and other professionals who are lifesavers. We have a responsibility to help make sure that there are hospital beds still available in the hospitals so that other people who acquired this pandemic through no fault of their own may receive a ventilator if they need it or a doctor's attention or hydroxychloroquine dosing or whatever is going to work for them. If we can avoid becoming a casualty, then we reduce the stress on the system and we help save other people's lives. And so when we say, stay the F home, it's not stay the F home at gunpoint, martial law, you're a slave. No, it's stay the F home because you are a conscious, aware, awake, individual human being who can function as an adult in society and you can consider the risks upon others and that you honor other lives beyond yourself and that you are reducing the risk to others as well as reducing the risk to yourself. And so if you want to go out and protest in the middle of a pandemic without wearing a mask, you might as well put a sign on your chest or your back that just says, you're a selfish person. You don't give a crap about anybody. You don't give a crap about the firefighters, the paramedics, the doctors, the ambulance drivers, anybody else who might have to come to your rescue when you get infected. And frankly, that's just sad. That's sad. We should stay home during this time until the infections wane, which is coming soon in just a few weeks. And then we can all go out and make up for all the protests. But right now, in the middle of the pandemic, please, everybody behave like an adult and don't have a five-year-old mentality where you think the whole world revolves around you. There are other lives at stake beyond yours. This is Mike Adams here for Pandemic.News. Thank you for listening. When it comes to prepping, you not only need good products that can help keep you alive, awake, aware, and nourished during difficult times, you also need products you can trust. At the Health Ranger store, we do extensive laboratory testing using an in-house lab that's ISO accredited. It's inspected, it's audited. It's a two-year process to even get that accreditation. We use multiple mass spec instruments, state-of-the-art science. I'm a published science author as well and a patent holder on several technologies, some of which we use variations of in our lab. The purpose of this lab is to help you make sure you get clean foods, superfoods, storable foods for emergency preparedness and survival use. We have a certified organic lab-tested, what's called Ranger Bucket collection of storable foods with some survival gear in the buckets to help you even boil water and cook those foods and so on. It's a fantastic product. We can barely keep it in stock, even during normal times. In a crisis, we'll be wiped out of this product because it actually takes us a lot of time to make those products. But if they're in stock, you can get them now at healthrangerstore.com/prepwithmike. In fact, go to that URL, healthrangerstore.com/prepwithmike, and you'll see some of our survival and preparedness supplies, including iodine, colloidal silver products and gel first aid products, storable foods, superfoods, medicinal herbs for first aid, and much more. We have a lot of products for you to help you be self-reliant, to be safe, to survive difficult circumstances, natural disasters, and all kinds of things. If you want to get prepared, do it with us at the Health Ranger store so that you know you're getting safe, clean, laboratory-verified preparedness foods, supplements, and other related products. Again, the URL is healthrangerstore.com/ Prep with Mike. All one word, no spaces. Prep with Mike. I'm Mike Adams. Thank you for your support.